Antlers are extremely important. They are important to deer to be certain, but they are important to hunters as well. If you took someone who knew absolutely nothing about deer or deer hunting and asked them to study deer and the people who hunt them, there is a fair chance they would come to the conclusion that the antler is the primary goal of the harvest. Hunters prize deer antlers. They study them, measure them, and score them. There are names and designations for the different tine locations and configurations. Antlers decorate homes, offices, and cabins. We put antler decals on our vehicles and screen print them on our clothes. Big buck contests are common across the Northwoods, some focusing on weight, but most focusing on antlers. When people ask if you got your deer, they are looking for a full report on the size and condition of the antlers. Each year, while aging and registering deer, I used to at least see one deer with an antler shot off. The hunter was so focused on the size of the deer's rack, they shot at the rack before realizing their mistake and actually shooting the deer. As biologists, we have focused on antlers as well. Wisconsin's first bucks-only season was 102 years ago, in 1915. The current restriction of at least one antler needing to be at least 3 inches was not enforced until 1921. For decades, wildlife managers examined deer registered on opening weekend of deer season to determine their age, and they put antlered bucks in one of three categories: forked antlers, spiked antlers, and sublegal spikes, which are registered as antlerless deer. Biologists often observe that in years of good weather and growing condition, deer have better antler development, and in years with poorer growing conditions, antler development is poorer. People commonly use the words antlers and horns interchangeably when discussing deer. Technically, deer have antlers which grow from their pedestal or base new each summer and fall off each winter. Horns do not fall off. They grow continually from the base, getting larger or longer each year. As the daylight length increases in the spring, bucks start to grow antlers from their pedestals on top of their skull. The antler is a bone, one of the fastest growing bones in the animal kingdom. To supply it with nutrients and minerals it needs, growing antler is covered with a special capillary-packed skin called velvet. When the antler is full grown, the velvet is rubbed off and the antler is polished by rubbing it against tree branches. While the start of antler growth is triggered by daylight or photo period, the size, shape, and condition are impacted by numerous factors. The amount of testosterone is key, contributing to older deer growing larger antlers than yearling deer. Genetics play a huge role. I know people that use trail cameras to track antler characteristics that are likely passed from sire to offspring, giving the impression of a buck that lives for many years. Finally, the growing season impacts antler development. If deer have limited success in accessing food in winter, but get plenty of food in spring, they can still grow excellent antlers. Studies have shown that antler development is negatively impacted when spring diet, starting in mid-March, is significantly restricted. Late, cool, wet springs are detrimental because plant forage is less available, and bucks can't get those nutrients and minerals needed to grow large, healthy bones. In the fall, bucks use their polished up antlers to establish dominance over other bucks, either by posturing or by battling with them. In either case, a large rack is crucial for establishing dominance and having the pick of the best does for passing on their genes. Then, in late winter, after the breeding season has passed, the pedestals lose their grip on the antlers and the bucks knock them off. Then, when winter returns to spring, the antler growth cycle starts again. Striving to make new things familiar and familiar things new, this is the Masked Biologist coming to you from the heart of Wisconsin's Great North Woods.